Good morning, dear Elam. Well, happy Mother's Day to you, too. I'm so excited for this day. You know, we love the men in this church, but this is a day that we get to celebrate the women through the power of God's Word. And so I want to just express my gratitude as we're in the midst of a series on hearts that we get to talk about mothers and women's hearts. A few years ago, I attended a conference called the Orange Conference in Atlanta, Georgia. And I was overwhelmed as I sat in this huge auditorium with about 8,000 children's pastors, youth pastors, seniors pastors. This is a movement around the country and in the church to try and redeem the next generation as young people are walking away from their faith in Christianity. The Orange Conference was created to connect the churches and families and help us to grow and help us to continue that the next generation of our sons and daughters and grandchildren are committed to faith. So what you see there is the combination of influence that the yellow stands for the church and the red stands for the family. And as we come together, the Orange Conference. And as I sat there one night in the midst of 8,000 people worshiping God, I heard the story of a very simple, ordinary woman by the name of Geneva Bray. And as I heard this story, I was so overwhelmed and taken by the power of this woman's heart. As I learned, Geneva Bray was a single woman. She was 54 years old and was born in 1893. She grew up in rural Georgia and lived most of her life without indoor plumbing. Very simple woman. She never drove, and her dad withdrew her from college because the brother was convinced and had convinced him that it was a waste of money to educate a woman. She taught Sunday school in a small Methodist church. But one day, Geneva Brown heard about this little girl. And this little girl had been the adoptive daughter of her brother and his wife. But her brother, who was a physician, had committed suicide, and his wife, a year later, had committed suicide. And suddenly, this little girl was about to be put into foster care. No one knew what to do with her, and this woman, Geneva Bray, decided that she would take this little girl and she would raise her as her own. So the single woman at 54 years of age decided that she would take in this little girl. And as I sat there in this conference in Orange County, I heard the story of Reggie Joyner as he thanked his Aunt Geneva. Because you see, the woman, Aunt Geneva, took in his mother. Aunt Geneva took in his mother, Dee. And he talked about how as her parents had tragically died and no one wanted this little girl, Aunt Geneva stepped forward and said, "We can't put her in foster care. I will raise her as my own." And so Reggie Joyner, who is the CEO of this Orange Conference, who had served in the largest church in America, North Point, who is now the leader who impacts people all over the world. He is the one who is challenging young leaders like Andy Stanley and people throughout the world. Got up and he thanked his Aunt Geneva for the impact that this single woman had made in his life and a heart that was willing to sacrifice for his mom, Dee. He said, "Aunt Geneva, thank you for raising my mom. Thank you for raising my mom and proving to me that God is real. Your lifetime of prayer impacted me in more ways than I will ever know." So as we come here today, We come here to celebrate mothers in a variety of ways. My adopted daughters, when they were little, would always say to me, "Mom, did it hurt when we were in your tummy?" And I would always say to them, "You weren't born in mommy's tummy. You were born in mommy's heart. You were born in mommy's heart." And I think as we come here today, we have women in this church who are adoptive mothers. We have women in this church who are spiritual mothers. We have women like Aunt Geneva who impact the lives of hundreds and thousands of people in ways that we will never know or we will never totally understand. One of the things that I read that I thought was so powerful is Geneva had no idea the impact that she would have when she was willing to let her heart say yes. When I look at Scripture, there are certain heroes of the faith. And we are so familiar with Moses. Moses is sort of our guy. And everyone seems to know Moses. But rarely do we understand the power of the women behind Moses. And there are two women that we probably have never heard of in our life. Any of you heard of Shiphrah and Puah? All right. Well, without Shiphrah and Puah, let me tell you, there would be no Moses. We see in Exodus 1, verses 15 through 22, that there is a new Pharaoh in town. 400 years after Joseph, there is a new Pharaoh in control, the most powerful person in the world. And as he saw the Jewish people continuing to multiply, suddenly there was this concern upon Pharaoh's heart that the Jews were becoming too powerful and something needed to be done. And so this new Pharaoh calls upon these two midwives. Midwives at that time were the lowest of low among women. Typically, they were poor women. They were oppressed women. They were women who had no children of their own. In that culture, women who had children were valued, but these were single women who were often seen as barren women, and their role was day after day to watch other women experience the joy of childbirth. Their role was to help other women to bring life into this world. But these midwives in that culture had no control, no power, and were at the mercy of those in control. So when Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, comes to them. Can you imagine being called into the presence of the king, of the Pharaoh? Then the king of Egypt sent to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other named Puah. In the Hebrew, their names mean brilliance, beauty, light. Beauty, light. He calls these two midwives named Shiphrah and Puah. When you serve as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birthing stool, if it is a son, if it is a boy, you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God. That phrase, fear God, means that they honored God, they worshiped God, they believed in the power of God. And ultimately, the most important thing in their life was to honor and bring glory to the Lord, to worship God. And because these women feared God, isn't this powerful? Moses wanted us to know their names. And he wanted us to know that they were women who loved God. And their relationship with the Lord was more important than the fear of the most powerful human king. These women feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and let the male children live? These are two women who defied the most powerful man in the world because they served a greater king and a greater purpose. And because of that, they would not be a tool used to oppress and to destroy and to kill the male babies." The midwife said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwives come to them. They're defiant against the king." So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all of his people, "Every son that is born to the Hebrews shall be cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live." Pharaoh wanted to destroy the people of God, but in such a powerful way, God began his story of redemption of his people through the lives of women. It's interesting, as I have studied this passage and I have studied different commentaries on this, over and over again, we see the lives of these women. One commentary says, "The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, 'The story of Moses' birth is a story that would be impossible.'" We all know Moses. We all know the power of how God used Moses. But his life would never have happened. The story of Moses and the exodus of God's people would never have happened without the strength and courage of these women. There is a bravery of his own mother who defied the law of the state to keep her son alive. Pharaoh's daughter who took the baby she knows is a Hebrew boy, and also in defiance of the state of her father, raises him as her own. His sister Miriam, who guards Moses from a distance as he floats in a basket, eventually brings his own mother to Pharaoh's daughter to be his wet nurse. Yet the progression of heroines begins with these two midwives, Shipra and Puah. It is their lives that defied Pharaoh's edict and refused to kill the Hebrew babies. God uses ordinary women. God uses ordinary women. He gives us a mother's heart in so many powerful ways. The lowest of social and economic status, barren women who have a heart to be loved and to love others. God uses these women. And what is so powerful for me in this text is the most powerful man in the world has no name. We all know the significance of names in the Bible. Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, only has a title. But these two lowest of low women, Shipra and Puah, are in the book. They're in the book. The women who were always the bridesmaid, but never the bride, are in the book. And in God's plan and his purpose, he uses their life. He uses their life in powerful ways for his glory and his kingdom. The text goes on, and it shares the story of Moses, of a mother who loves her son, and because of that, protects him at the fear of death. Moses' mother carries this child and protects this child as long as she possibly can. "Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite wife. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months." Some of the scholars that have written on this said that there would be Egyptian women that would pretend that they were Hebrew women, go into the Hebrews' areas, trying to hear babies crying. And these Egyptian women then would try and find the Hebrew women so that they could destroy these male babies. So at risk of death, Moses' mother protected him for 3 months so that this child could live. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and dabbed it with pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the river bank. And his older sister Miriam, stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came to bathe at the river. While her young women walked beside the river, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant women and took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him. This Egyptian princess's heart melted when she saw this Hebrew child that she knew her father was trying to destroy. This Egyptian princess defies the most powerful man in the world, who just happens to be her father. She takes pity on this child and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. I love how God weaves our lives. I love how God is at work in our stories and uses women in our stories. And Pharaoh's daughter said, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." Isn't that like God? Moses' mom is able to nurse this child and pray over this child and continue relationship with this child, and is paid a wage by Pharaoh's daughter, the daughter of the man who's trying to kill her son. So the woman took the child and nursed him, and when the child grew older, she brought him. This mother brought him to safety. A mother's heart that was most likely breaking surrendered her son and placed him in the hands of Pharaoh's daughter. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water." In such amazing and powerful ways, we see behind our hero Moses, five women, Shipra and Pua, who from the beginning saved the male babies. We see behind Moses his biological mother's love. We see behind Moses his sister Miriam, who watched from a distance, who in very intentional ways guided Moses back to his mother and back to safety. And we see the heart of this Egyptian princess, who should have been a part of her father's plans for oppression and destruction, whose heart took pity on this child and received him into her home, in Pharaoh's home, and raised him and protected him as her son. Behind Moses, we see in such powerful ways the life of women, the life of women. And we see in such amazing ways how God uses women for his purposes and his glory. And even though we all know Moses and we've never heard of Shipra and Pua before today, we see how God has a plan and a purpose for the lives of women. Pua and Shipra and the other midwives were a part of God's plan. They had hearts open to life, which motivated them to reach out in love and faith and to protect and care for children besides their own. Even in the face of great personal danger, they had courage to choose life over death. They chose to put their lives at risk to protect the lives of these children. I think this is one of the most beautiful things about cultivating a heart. Cultivating a heart open to life. It fills you with love, not just for those people yet unborn, but for the people around you, and especially for children. This week I've been thinking about women in my life who have impacted my life. I've shared many times about the power of Nancy Lundquist and the model and the example, this amazing woman in my life. I think of women like Marie Schultz who have been my spiritual mother. Marie Schultz is a single woman who has impacted the lives of so many. I think of my own mom. I think of women throughout history who have made a significant impact. Mothers come in so many different shapes and sizes. Some of us have biological mothers who have created such a legacy of joy in our lives. Others have mothers who have created pain in our lives. Adoptive mothers, foster mothers, spiritual mothers in our life. This week I was reflecting on the life of Henrietta Mears. Pastor Chuck and Pastor Becky and I were talking in our staff meeting. Henrietta Mears is an incredible woman used by God, a single woman who was blind at the age of 30 that God has used in amazing ways. Henrietta Mears has been a woman that has had such significant impact on the lives of some of the key leaders of our world. Let me see if I can find this. I have too many things on Henrietta Mears here. Henrietta Mears had a ministry at Hollywood Press, California. She is an author. She is the writer of numerous books. And in her ministry, she impacted the lives of people like Bill Bright and his wife. Bill Bright was the leader of Campus Crusade. Everything I've read about this woman says that she was instrumental in shaping the future of Campus Crusade for Christ, which has impacted millions of people around the world. This single woman who never got married, who is never a biological mom, has impacted the spiritual lives of millions of people. Bill Bright and his wife lived with Henrietta Mears for 10 years as he began Campus Crusade for Christ. She is the one that gave him the biblical background to write the four laws. Henrietta Mears has had an impact on senators who go on to be chaplains for the Senate. She has had a significant impact on the leadership of the Navigators, of Young Life, and also the lives of one person that we all know. Henrietta Mears confronted a young man by the name of Billy Graham, who wasn't quite walking with the Lord at the time. And Henrietta Mears began to tell him that he needed to go back and to read the Bible. She is the founder of a Christian camp in California that my husband and I would go to for the 7 years that we were there, called Forest Home. And when you would walk around Forest Home, there is a building there that Billy Graham has a rock, this huge, massive rock, where he recommitted his life to the Lord because of Henrietta Mears' smackdown in his life. And Billy Graham is said to honor this woman and said, "Dr. Henrietta Mears has had a remarkable influence, both directly and indirectly, on my life. In fact, I doubt if any other woman outside my wife and my mother, a single woman who never gave birth, a single woman who has been used by God to touch millions of people. She is certainly one of the greatest Christians I have ever known. And this single woman who is willing to take her heart to love God and to love others has been used by God in such powerful ways for Campus Crusade for Christ, for Navigators, for all of the Billy Graham Crusades. Henrietta Mears, the single woman, has been the spiritual mother to millions and millions of people because she had a heart to serve God. So as we come today, we celebrate women. I'm sure most of you had never even heard of Henrietta Mears. But let me tell you, behind Billy and behind Bill Bright and behind Navigators and behind Youth for Christ and Young Life is a single woman that is a spiritual mother. Behind Moses, who set his people free, in the book of Exodus are two women named Shipra and Pua, the least of these, oppressed, broken women who were willing to stand up to oppression, who were willing to stand up to the plans of the most powerful man in the world. And because of Shipra and Pua, and a mother like Moses had, and a sister and Pharaoh's daughter, women, God was able to work in powerful ways. So for all the women in this church today, we want to celebrate you. Whether you are a biological mom, whether you are an adoptive mom, whether you are a foster mom, or whether you are a spiritual mom, or whether you aren't even a mom to be yet. We know that this is a painful day for many of us. Many of us have experienced loss. Many of us this past year might have struggled with infertility, or have lost a child, or have lost a mom. This is a painful day for many of us, but it is also a day of remembrance of the women in our life that God has used and continues to use. And for some of us, amen. I think we should have every woman stand. No matter who you are, you need to stand. Come on. All of the women. We want to honor you. We want to honor you. So, Lord, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you. We thank you, God, for the men of this church. I thank you for the men of this church. And on this day, we come and we thank you and we honor the women of history who have changed our lives and impacted our lives. We thank you for grandmas who pray for us. We thank you for mothers who have sacrificed. Thank you for the single moms in this church. We thank you for women who pray and women who persevere and women who continue to give their lives to you. So God, on this day, we honor the families of this church. And we honor men and women who have a heart to know you and a heart to serve you and a heart that is willing to stand up. So God, bless the women in particular today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.